Welcome to Doing Good Things for Kids, a show featuring the staff, faculty, and students of the Northfield School District who are doing important work building the future of our city, our community, and our society. Here is your host, the Superintendent of Northfield Public Schools, Dr. Matt Hillman.
Welcome to the Doing Good Things for Kids podcast. I'm Matt Hillman, Superintendent of the Northfield Schools in Northfield, Minnesota. Doing Good Things for Kids is a monthly segment here on KYMN Radio, highlighting excellence in the Northfield Public Schools. And today I'm thrilled to be having a conversation with one of Northfield's all-time greats, Kevin Dahl. Kevin teaches social studies at Northfield High School, and he's a longtime driver's education teacher. And I count him among the best professionals that I've ever had a chance to work with. So Kevin, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dr. Hillman, and it's a pleasure to be here. Long time great. The emphasis on the long time. Not so sure about great, but 41 years in education and about 32 of those here in Northfield.
And you are going to go into a retirement phase
Well, they're kicking me out. It's about time. I've hit all kinds of milestones, Medicare and way past rule of 90. I got rule of 100. So it's time. I've enjoyed coming to work every day. So,
well, we're grateful for your service. I know you're going to keep teaching a little bit of driver's education, which will I think every parent who is listening to this segment is thrilled with someone else teaching their children to drive. So I think people might even be more thankful for that for you, Kevin, than even your teaching our students the intricacies of American government and civics.
Well, I've taught driver education since I got out of college in 1980. Summer of 83 was the first time I taught driver education in Britt, Iowa. But did two summers there before my first teaching job in 1984. But I've seen everything. I'm not frightened of anything. It's a good extra job for me. I've enjoyed doing it, and every gray hair in my head is from someone's student driver.
There you go. There. Well, you know, you're kind of looking back a little bit here, and I always think that, especially in education, origin stories are so powerful. Mm-hmm. You know, I have met far fewer people who knew that education was exactly what they wanted to do. You know, than people who found it in another way, shape, or form. So we want to hear your origin story. So when you think about, you know, yourself, give us a little bit about yourself, you know, where you're from, and that what first inspired you to pursue a career in education?
Yes. I grew up in Forest City, Iowa, just over the border. You can get there in an hour and 30 minutes from here. I did not know that I was going to be into education. I had a grandmother who taught elementary education for a long time. I was one of the first to go to college in my family, and I ended up at the University of Northern Iowa, which was a former teacher college, much like the Mankato of Minnesota. And I was going to go into commercial, I was going to be a graphic designer until I got to UNI, and they have no such program. Seriously, I'm sitting my sophomore year, taking general eds for a year and a half, and I go, really, what am I going to do? I'm really good, however, at American history, at sociology, at political science. Math and science make me cry. And so I really said, well, this is a teacher college. That's what they're known for. It's a great business school as well. Not my bag. So I decided, I think, my sophomore year to go into education. And so I remember also coming back one graduation summer. I had a lot of great social studies teachers. Oh, yeah, I hear you're going to go into teaching. And they told me exactly what I got to do. Got to get my coaching certificate. Back in the 80s, you had to have a coaching certificate. And do you have driver education? No, you got to have driver education. And so it was probably because of those two things I got my first teaching job. My first teaching job was in Sabika, Minnesota. And that is in the middle of nowhere. And it's North Central Minnesota.
Apologies to our listeners in Sabika.
And well, you know, I think about the very first students I had in Sabika would now be like 60 years old. I'm not kidding you.
No, that's
because I was 24 and they were 18. Okay, maybe 58. But you know, back in the 80s, when you were applying for a job, there were 300 applicants.
Absolutely.
There were 400 applicants, and social studies were like a dime a dozen. You know, I'm not teaching science or chemistry or something in high demand. And so I think the only reason my resume got plucked out of a pile is because the superintendent who was retiring, his last name was Dahle, D-A-H-L-E, same as mine, but I pronounce it different. And so Oral Dahle was the soup. And I don't know how many times in my interview, are you sure you're not related to the superintendent? And I did get the job because I had driver education, coaching, and a social studies major. So I, anyway, that's my humble beginnings. I taught for 9 years in Sabika, taught everything, you know, single the whole time I was up there for 9 years. And you directed plays, you ran the student council, I coached basketball, and I hadn't played basketball since seventh grade. I eventually got to coach my sport that I was no good at in high school, wrestling. Did that in both Northfield and Sabika. You announced the volleyball games. You were the MC at the Miss Sabika pageant. You went to the Nimrod Days right down the road and played softball and volleyball and did the beer gardens. And yeah, it was a great starting job.
I think, as I reflect, you know, so many, you know, young people going into the people who are going into teaching today, it's a different cohort of people than when you and I went in. You know, people are coming at it, the on-ramp is from different ages, and we're seeing more people who are transitioning into this career later than they typically did. I also started in a really small school district, had some very similar experiences to you, Kevin. I really wish for people that they could have that experience, because as I look back now, and I'm only in 30, not 41 like you, but I'm so grateful that I have had all of those experiences, because I think it gave me a better understanding of all the ways that kids and families access our school, and it gives me empathy and a desire to support a variety of things. So I think everybody should have that, you know, beginning experience, because it teaches you so much about public education and all the things that are important to people. And if you only ever, you know, came in and taught in a classroom from, you know, day one in a, you know, suburban or larger, you're not going to have those experiences. So I'm sure you could see that really helped shape your career in many ways.
For sure. And, you know, a town the size of Sabika, 600.
Yep.
But the school was the biggest employer when I got hired, my starting salary was $16,900. By the way, Iowa back then, their starting salary was like $10,000.
Yep.
And again, we're talking 1984. And I had several teacher friends back in Forest City. They go, "You're making how much?" Now, my rent was $70, $75 if you want a garage, which I took. But the school was so important to that community. There was talk about merging with Monaga up the road, but no. And you were highly esteemed. It was one of the best jobs that you could have in a little town. You know, I had a chance to take a job about year six in Rockford, Illinois, big city. My aunt had connections there, and I actually turned them down to stay in Sabika. I loved Minnesota. I loved Minnesota, just what they thought of education in general, and I loved the start of the small town. I knew that I probably wasn't going to live there forever or retire there, but it was a great start.
So, Kevin, you know, you've had a lot of great moments over the years in your career, and if you can think about a specific moment or experience in the classroom that really reaffirmed your love of teaching, you know, what's a moment that you think about, either a specific moment or you've seen things a number of times now, what are those things that you say, yes, I love coming to work every day? What are some things that make that true?
Well, as a social studies teacher, I've taught civics for 40 of the 41 years that I've taught. And when you get to pick up the newspaper and talk about the headlines and what's going on in government and what's going on in politics, which is a lot different today than it was in the 80s, I always appreciated, we start every day with current events, and I like the idea that kids got interested in government. there used to be something called the Citizen Bee. It was a statewide and a national competition put on by the Close Up Foundation. And I had a couple of students that won the state Citizen Bee for 2 years in a row, and another kid the third year, the state Citizen Bee. And one went to the Nationals and won second place in the Nationals. But every day, Mr. Dahl, he wanted me to quiz him about the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and so forth. Now, that's the extreme. I was so proud of those kids that really, you know, not my doing somewhat, but their doing, that they really wanted to pursue this. And I was so proud of the achievement. Over the years, just having kids come up to me later, one of my students became the mayor of Sabika. Or other students have said, hey, Mr. Dahl, you got me interested in politics. You got me interested in government. And now they work for I don't know if they still do, government agencies or Washington, D.C. and executive departments. So they come up and tell me what they're doing. And, hey, you kind of inspired me. I really appreciated your class, even though it might have been a semester. I've also taught AP government and politics. But having kids... getting that spark to be interested in a topic that I was teaching, that's very rewarding.
Yeah, and those are rewarding moments. So I appreciate you sharing those specific examples with us. You're listening to the Doing Good Things for Kids podcast here on KYMN Radio. I'm Matt Hillman, the superintendent of schools, and I'm visiting with longtime social studies and driver education teacher Kevin Dahl. Kevin, how does the district's vision to prepare every student for lifelong success by developing critical thinkers who are curious and ready to engage in our society drive your work at Northfield High School? What about that vision do you connect with in the work that you do with our kids?
Well, I think you hire good people. I really do. I think having also been on the other side of negotiating with you as the union president, I think you really believe in the idea of retaining and recruiting Absolutely. The best teachers. And so I love my colleagues. And I think there's high expectations about the staff in terms of what goes on in the classroom, what expectations they have for students to learn, and more importantly, what skills are they going to have that's going to make them successful in a college, in a career, whatever field, whatever they choose to do right out of high school. So when I talk to fellow teachers around Minnesota and at least how we're treated as a staff and how successful our students are, I mean, every week, whether it's academics or sports or knowledgeable or drama, whatever, it's just we have such high flyers in this community. It's a pleasure to teach in this community, but also to see the kind of product we put out in terms of those, our students. And I had every week, month, summers, Mr. Dahl, and what are you doing today? They are blowing my mind in terms of what they do is for a career or just how happy they are. Mm-hmm. And while they wouldn't say it when they're here, they really got one heck of an education at Northfield School District.
And we hear that regularly when kids come back. You know, I've shared with you, Kevin, before that, you know, around the winter break in December when last year's seniors come back from their mm-hmm. first semester of college and we run into them in town and they're happy to see us then and we talk. I said, well, were you well prepared? And almost every time they look at me like, what are you talking about? But a few of them have seen that, right, that they realize that, here, you know, I didn't realize that what we got in Northfield isn't the same as what other places and how well our students are prepared. And we owe a gratitude of debt to you specifically, of course, and of your colleagues for helping make sure that we have those high expectations and that we are encouraging kids to be curious so they are prepared for that first semester. We know that that first semester in college can be a make or break, right? Because if you go in with the academic skills that you need, you have the time to develop through that social transition. So I totally agree that our students do so well. And if you notice that we're broadcasting this in late March here, and it was just this past week here on KYMN Radio, Logan Wells, the news director, did a segment that I thought might have been the longest single news segment ever. It was really just an honor roll of all of our students' academic and athletic success in about the last month. So For those listening, go back and you can listen to Logan's broadcast on that a little bit earlier this week, probably March 19th or 18th or 19th, something like that.
And it's not just academics. Mike Allen, I just had breakfast with this morning. He was on a cruise ship around South America, and the main entertainment on the cruise ship is a Northfield grad who was starred in Rock and Roll Revival, Tom Fronick.
There you go, yes.
My own three children went through the schools. My daughter said, I took stats class in college, and I blew it away. Mr. Coudray really taught me stats. So every one of my children.
And probably also taught the young man on the cruise ship how to play guitar.
Well, of course.
Yeah,
well,
there you go.
And so, no, it's...
Yeah, we're very fortunate, and you have always supported all of the different areas, academics, athletics, and our exceptional fine arts programs. But something that some people may know about you, but maybe they don't, is that Mr. Dahl went to St. Paul, and you served some time as the senator from this area representing Northfield and surrounding communities. And as a social studies teacher, that had to be an amazing experience. And I'm just curious, you know, now you've been out of it for a little while. When you reflect on that experience of being in the Minnesota Senate, how did that impact how you taught civics?
Yes, that was, I was in and out between 2008 and 2016. I got to be a teacher in the fall, and then I would go on leave once the session started, whether that was January, February, depending on whether it was a budget year. But I got to tell you, whether it's AP government or American history is what I'm teaching now, or civics, I would say, well, when I went door knocking, they would all like perk up. Or when I was in the Senate, or that let me tell you about this bill that I put before the Senate. And they kind of stop doodling. They kind of look up at me because, hey, you know, I still have my plaque on my desk at school, Senator Dahl, but they kind of think I might know something, or I have an inside track or a really good inside story about my experiences about really what is it like to be in the arena trying to pass a bill, my successes, my failures, what's it like to campaign, what's it like to door knock. My repertoire of stories and examples tenfold once I had that. So, and kids would come up to me later, whether they're in youth in government or just curious about what they're reading in the newspaper. Hey, Mr. Dahl, can you help me with this? It's a bill I'm doing for YIG. Mr. Dahl, what do you think of what's going on in the House or Senate now? So I thought I knew a lot about government until you actually serve in government.
Yeah, and something I think that's so important for people to know is that, and something I'm always impressed, you know, about with you, Kevin, is that, you know, you still have that capability of talking about politics in a nonpartisan way. I think so often today we hear that no one wants to touch politics in the school because they perceive that it's going to be presented in a partisan manner. And you know as well as anyone how you can lean into that and be able to discuss the issues of the day without being partisan. How has that changed over time for you?
Well, you know, one of the best compliments a student ever gave me is after a couple months of teaching government or civics. Mr. Dahl, are you a Democrat or Republican? Which is, to me, is
the ultimate compliment.
What kids should ask. I think my AP kids knew eventually that I served as the Democratic in the Democratic Party. But it is trickier. I actually spoke at St. Olaf, some new educators up there, about that very topic. How do you teach government in a much more it's hard. I mean, we watch the news, we get stuck in our own echo chambers, our own silos, and you really have to try to just give the facts.
Right.
You also, if I'm giving a particular story, and I typically pick up the Star Tribune and read the story, but I might make sure that I play the devil's advocate of what is the other side saying on a particular issue. So I try to be respectful that I have quite a variety of kids in my room. Northfield does lean a little more liberal than some communities where it's a little more difficult for maybe certain opinions to be heard, and I've never really had any trouble with parents, which is a good thing. But you have to be mindful that who you're speaking to, how impressionable young people can be. We do a whole unit, at least in AP Government, on media and media bias and how to read the news and talk about the news and learn about the news and what to do with that information. So I don't even realize I'm doing it sometimes, but so far it's worked out fairly well where I don't get called on something.
Well, and I think it's because you act in that way. I mean, I think that that's the, you know, sometimes rhetoric can, you know, can become perceived to be real. And the truth is that, you know, you deliver that information in a way that helps students develop their own critical thinking skills tied back to the school district's vision, because you are not sharing with them what you think, right, but teaching them how to think about those issues in a different way. So I really appreciate that, because I think that's been a hallmark of our success in Northfield, is that we do encourage students to develop their own opinion, mm-hmm. defend their own opinion with fact, and how do you articulate and have a conversation with someone who may have a different opinion than you? And this is, I think, sadly, that's becoming more of a rarity today, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And I look at how differently I might have taught now versus, like I said, 30 years ago,
yeah.
where we were all kind of getting the same news sources. Yeah. And, you know, sure, Ronald Reagan maybe seemed out of touch to the Democrats at the time. We pine for someone like Ronald Reagan or George Bush, you know, in office. I'm the last week of school, though, I'm going rogue. I'm going to give my opinions. I'm going
to... no, you're going to keep doing what has made you successful.
What are they going to do, fire me? Just kidding. Of course.
This is a school district podcast,
yes.
Right? You know,
right,
that?
Right, I know.
This is the other thing I love about Mr. Dahl. He's one of the best humorists that I know as well. Kevin, what do you hope that students take away from your social studies or your driver's ed class? We've focused more so on social studies, but what do you hope to take away from those classes?
Well, I'll use the driver ed example first. And I tell this to my driver's ed students. This is a class, I teach the class and behind the wheel, that you actually have to take what you learn and apply it. You know, you've got this manual, and we have 30 hours to learn about the rules of the road and how to drive. But you then take that information, and now you get behind the wheel, and you have to apply it. You have to interact with other road users and understand the law and the rules of the road, etc. I like to think that's what happens in civics. Here's the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the three branches of government, state government. What have you learned here? What can you take from a civics class with basic government, and what can you use to apply it? I hope you vote. I hope you pay attention to the news. I hope that you get involved on issues that are important to you. I hope that you attend a city council meeting, write your legislator, email them. And that's how I end my unit. We've learned civics. We've learned about the government. What now makes a good citizen? How can you apply what you've learned?
Again, that's what we hope for all in public education.
Right.
I appreciate both of those examples. I think people on the road really appreciate your teaching the rules of the road.
Yes.
I think some people might also suggest others might need to go back to school every
for
so
sure.
often. But
I cannot tell my wife anything about her driving while I'm sitting in the car.
That's a good
Seriously.
Move on your part. That's a pro tip. So, Kevin, as you're looking back on your career,
mm-hmm.
and we're thinking about inspiring a new generation of educators, what advice would you give to those educators coming up about how they can stay inspired in a career that really requires a lot of inspiration? So how would you advise people to keep things fresh and to keep themselves inspired?
That's a great question. I hope we have young people wanting to go into education. You know, as I mentioned, there were 300 applicants for every school I applied to in the 80s. We're lucky to get a half a dozen in any one particular area at that. And Northfield's probably better than some when you think about those rural schools out in, you know, the hinterlands, the Sabikas of the world.
Yep, for sure.
So it has been the best career I could have ever imagined. I just loved every minute about it. And so, you know, I think about my own career and what has kept me fresh. I think a couple of things, changing jobs and environment after 9 years in one place. About 10 years into it, I got my master's, so I was relearning, you know, what I thought I knew everything, and then you kind of hit the pedagogy a little bit and see how can I even be better. I tried new classes to teach. That kept me fresh. I did that Senate thing, so that was keeping me fresh. You know, I can teach a half a year. So I think there was always another little challenge along the way. Can I really maybe stretch my craft by trying? It's been a long time, 20 years since I taught American history. Could I really take on a global studies class? So I liked that challenge, maybe not whole hog, but I liked a variety in what I taught, and I wasn't afraid to try something new. So I also appreciated what I had going on the side. I really loved being the union president. I loved being a wrestling coach. I kind of phased in and out of those at 20 years here, 10 years there, 20 years there. So I think kind of just that little variety and all the things that come with being a teacher, that kept me wanting to come to work every year.
You know, it is something about being a beginner again, isn't it? That's what I just heard you say, is that, you know, over your career, you intentionally decided to become a beginner again. And I think that's a mindset that is more difficult to get people to embrace these days. I think sometimes people look at it and they say, I've got this role that I really love and it's going well. But in order to challenge yourself, being a beginner again is something that is just, it is something that jumpstarts creativity and refreshes you. So I really appreciate that perspective, especially from someone with your credibility.
I never thought of it like that, but that's really what it was. It's like a little bit of starting over. You're not afraid to learn something new. And it does keep you kind of fresh.
So, Kevin, you had a long career here in Northfield. Mm-hmm. You've said that it was a good experience. For what are the things that made you love teaching in this community?
Well, of course, the students are. We're lucky to have such great students. You talk to a substitute teacher that might come into our district versus another district.
No names.
And they love our students. You know, last time I broke up a fight, the last time I had a kid throw a book at me, I don't remember. But of course, the students are great. We're fortunate to have good families living in this. Maybe the colleges help. I don't know. But the wide variety of students too that we see in our classroom. As I mentioned earlier, I just love my colleagues. I love coming to work with my department and others that are lifelong friends. And like I said, we hire great people and we try to keep those people. And I don't know. I've had good administrators. I've had great superintendents. So I appreciate my administrators, and you, and those that came before you that let me teach. That they trust that I know what I'm doing, and they're not standing over me. They support me when I need it. And so all of those things have been made this an excellent place to teach in my career.
Well, and while you've got a one quarter left, we officially end when we're recording this. This is the last day of the third quarter, mm-hmm. and so one quarter left. I just want to thank you on behalf of the thousands of students that you have taught, the thousands of parents who you've supported. Your role as the NEA president in supporting so many teachers over time, supporting the district to make sure that we were working together, right? I always felt that as a district and as a union, we were working together. We certainly had our own perspectives on things, but we always came to what I felt was a reasonable middle ground that really drove the success of the district. So, you know, on behalf of all the school board members and previous superintendents and principals, we just thank you, Kevin, for giving your career to something so honorable as education and more so doing it here in Northfield. We are grateful for you. And my personal, if there was a Mount Rushmore, you'd be on it for me. So thanks for all that you've done over the years. And thanks for coming into the show today. Any parting words?
Well, those are kind words. I appreciate it. We have a mutual respect and admiration for each other, but I'm so excited for Northfield School District going forward. The new high school, I wish I could be in it, but I'll come and sub a little bit, but I think we're in a good place. I'm optimistic about the future of our school, our teachers, our students. So thanks so much.
Oh, it's been great to have you on the show. You've been listening to KYMN Radio 95.1 FM 1080 AM and streaming at kymnradio.net. I'm Matt Hillman, the superintendent of schools here in Northfield, and you've been listening to the Doing Good Things for Kids podcast along with my guest today, Kevin Dahl. Thanks for listening, and make it a great Northfield day.